Good morning. How are y'all? Why should I fear? Because the evidence is here. First of all, Anthony, if you are listening, I've got to call you out because you're not even here. I thought that I was sharing the stage with somebody today, but I'm not. So I had prepared for maybe 12 and a half-ish minutes. So y'all are still not getting out early because I added to it when Anthony told me that I was the only one talking. So in all seriousness, I'm excited to do this. I'm going to ask for some grace because I've been nervous as all get out all week, which is not like me because I don't get nervous. But there's no turning back now because I'm already up here. So here we go. When iron sharpens iron is what I titled this week. If y'all want to take some notes, if you don't, then I won't hold it against you. But I really want to scratch that title out because our Sunday school message this morning, I feel like we weren't even going to do it because we had like five kids there, truly. And then we put it on because more kept trickling in. And I would relabel this how God used the lows in my life. But it's still going to be focused on Proverbs 27:17. So Proverbs 27:17, just to jump into it real quick, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. I will take a couple drinks of water while we're doing this, so I know that's probably not the most preacher professional way to do it, but I'm also not a preacher. So here we go. Today, Anthony asked me to share my testimony with you guys. I did the typical Southern Baptist answer when he asked me about a month ago. I was like, look, I'll pray on it. And I did, and I'm here. So I'm going to tell you all about me today. And I've got it chunked up into different parts of my life, highs, the lows. But there were a couple lows that I have never publicly just come right out and put it out there to people. My family and friends that are real close to me, they know them, but I've never actually spoken about them. So that's what I'm going to focus on today. I'm not going to spend a whole lot on my childhood, right? My mom and dad and grandmom are here today. I love that y'all are here. Thank you for coming. I had a good childhood, but it was not intriguing. You know, I was a straight-A student. I was captain of the sports teams I played on. It's literally like cookie cutter. Boom, here you go. Great childhood. I didn't grow up in church, but I had a great set of values. I like to think I had a great set of values that were instilled in me by my family and friends. All right, cool. You know, got good grades, never got in trouble, didn't get arrested, didn't go out partying when I was in high school, none of that stuff. But it was a childhood that was fun, but also I don't have a really intriguing story from my 0 to 18. I'm sure I do. I just couldn't think of one. But the interesting thing about Proverbs 27:17 is that was introduced to me as iron sharpens iron, boom, done, quotes on just those three words when I was in high school. I played basketball literally my whole entire life, and I love it. You're going to hear a lot about basketball today. So if you're a basketball person, awesome. If you're not, I'm sorry, but you're going to be a basketball person before you leave. I had a coach in high school that, you know, rah-rah, come on, guys. We got to get together as a team, preseason workouts. Iron sharpens iron, right? My actions impact others. My actions will rub off on others. Being a captain of our teams, I was always looked at to provide that positive, you know, role model, so to speak, for my teammates. We all come together. We do what we need to do. We hopefully go win a lot of basketball games that season. That's all it was. It was a motivational quote. Nobody introduced it to me as scripture when my coach introduced it. So back from high school on, Proverbs 27:17, the first part of it, even though I understood the full verse, is something that has shaped my life for a very long time. But I didn't even know it was scripture that I was starting to live by when I was in high school. And so now we're going to fast forward basically to my first year of college. 2006. Sorry, Lisa, I'm taking some. Actually, I'm just putting it right here. That way I don't goof you all up with the music. Fast forward to 2006. I graduate high school. Like I said, great grades. You know, one of the top kids in my class. Going to college. Have all these plans laid out that I felt like I was in control over, that I felt like I dictated, you know, because of all the hard work and sacrifices I put in. There was a lot of big man on campus syndrome going between my ears when I was about 18 years old. There was a stat that came out a long time ago that roughly about 2% of graduating seniors that played basketball in high school made it to play college at the next level, regardless of D1, 2, or 3, right? So I was in the 2% of all graduating high school seniors that played high school basketball that went on to play in college. That got to my head. I had some swagger that y'all didn't even see it because I didn't really show it at home. But when I got to campus, yes, I'm here. I'm a college athlete, right? I am here to go get good grades, play a whole lot of basketball, and hopefully find a real pretty girl with a Southern accent. Sorry, Laura, you didn't know me then. This was a year and a half before you knew me, but literally that was one of my missions of going to college. But until this point, I had never really been tested in my whole entire life. I had to work hard. I had to try my best at things, but I there was not a lot of adversity growing up, like had to put a dog down kind of adversity, right? That's, looking back, pretty kosher and smooth sailing for the first 18, 19 years of my life. And honestly, it was a good thing that I didn't have that kind of adversity either, because I didn't have a spiritual foundation to tap into had that adversity hit. I believed in God. I said prayers at night, but I didn't have a relationship with him. And there's a big difference between believing and actually having that relationship and starting to act on it. This floor is creaky. I don't know how Anthony does this sometimes. So that guidance that I would pull from, like, you know, thinking back, like if adversity had struck me that first year of college, which it didn't because it was an awesome year, it would have been what I learned from my mom and dad and my family and my friends, which would have helped get me through it. But I know it would have helped get me through it a little bit differently had I been able to use that and tap into a foundation that was based on reading the Bible and having a relationship with God. Okay, great. 2006 came and went. Had a great freshman season of basketball. I told you, you're not going to get away from basketball today. Like, I love it. I breathe it. Still, even though I don't play it a lot. Great season. Coming off a year that a lot of people, when I showed up, probably didn't even expect me to start as many games as I did. Contribute to the team as well as I did. Again, big man on campus syndrome still, like, radiating in here, right? I'm going to leave freshman year of college. I'm going to go back home and work as hard as I can over the summer. Again, this was my plan that I was making. I was going to work as hard as I could and come back to school with the best physical and mental fitness that I had ever had in my entire life. Because 2007 and 2008 school year and season was going to be even better, right? I'm building, right? Meanwhile, the relationships that I'm having that first year in college, like, they're sharpening, right? We didn't really get into trouble. We did what college kids did, but we were good kids. We had a lot of team stuff that dictated our free time, so we couldn't really get into a whole lot of trouble, really. And that was my mentality going home. School was school. Like, I enjoyed school, but it was just school. So I'm fully committed to this summer. My plan, my control over my plan, to go make something happen. That way I can come back and build off of what I did my freshman year. So I get back to college, August of 2007, 6 a.m. workouts, right? They were horrible, but whatever. It's a college athlete that you got to do it. So, Reagan, I'm going to call you out. You want to keep going, you get ready to wake up at 5:30 and go lift weights. It stinks, but you get used to it, and your body fights you for a while, but you're going to get used to it. A lot of pickup games. That was the fun stuff, right? Weightlifting, yeah, whatever. Pickup games were fun because that's when you got to talk some smack to your friends and you were just playing basketball, right? That was 5, 6, 7 days a week. Here we go, Proverbs 27:17. Now is my time to use what iron sharpens iron, end quotes. That's it. Just those three words, because that's all I knew at the time, to make that impact on my team, to say, look, I used all this in high school. I'm going to do it the same thing in college because now I'm a sophomore. I can go speak my voice to my teammates, and we're going to go do what we can to go win a lot of games my sophomore year because we stunk my freshman year. Like, 3-win season, we stunk. So I get back to school thinking I'm in full control of everything. Here's my first question to y'all. How many times have y'all thought you were in full control of everything? Right out the door. Because I wasn't. September 10th. 2007 was the first big low. That's when it started, was the first big low of my life. But guess what? That's also my mom's birthday. So I got to enjoy the high of calling her during the day. I think I called you earlier in the day. Called you twice that day. The first phone call, hey, mom, how you doing? Great. Happy birthday. You know, I'm 4 hours away. I'm running to class. I'm sure I was all over the place. But hey, happy birthday. I didn't forget to call you. But my 9 p.m. phone call was a little bit different. It was game point, last game of the night, pickup game that I wasn't even supposed to play. And all I was trying to do was this. Boom. Everything from my knee up twisted. Everything from my knee down stayed perfectly straight. Hit the floor. And I'm not too proud to admit it. I yelled every cuss word I knew for about 3 minutes straight because it hurt so bad. Had friends carry me off the floor. Teammates carried me off the floor. Let's fast forward to that 9 p.m. phone call. Hey, mom, happy birthday. You still up? Yeah. All right. I'm in the hospital. But I'm okay. Can't really walk, can't really feel my knee, you know, my guys are here. I had one of my best friends from fourth grade at, you know, college. He helped drive me. You know, one of my literally my next door neighbor that I grew up next to, he was at school. He helped get me there. You know, all of my guys were there to help me through it. But hey, look, I think I just blew out my knee. All of that control that I had summer of 2007 snapped. Right? I didn't have that control. I didn't know that was going to happen. If I did, I probably wouldn't have worked out all summer long. But my teammates got to live my dreams that year. And this is where I start talking about how I've never shared this with people. They lived my dream that year while I was on the sidelines. Here comes that sharpening again. Proverbs 27:17. Right? Instead of saying, hey, you know, I got this route from a foundation standpoint, crack open a Bible, go to Bible studies with my friends, things like that. We partied our tail off. But I still got good grades, so on the outside looking in, I was doing the right thing. I could show up to the athletic training room, sit on that table, very cloudy, but all they were doing was working on my knee. I didn't have to go run where I would have probably thrown up if I was running. Look, I'm getting raw with you guys today, but that's what I'm supposed to do, right? Yeah, dreams gone of that year, right? One of that, part of that 2% out the window. And I came back from the hospital that night, and again, my roommate was my best friend since fourth grade. He was sleeping. Room was dark. Man, lost it. Like, all that hard work, that's what I wanted to do, was just be a college basketball player. And I was. Nobody could take that away from me. But I wasn't that year. Up here, I was not a college basketball player that year. My name was on the roster and everything, but this was preseason, so I didn't even get to play a game that year. And that's when we just got after it, right? That was what I knew that I could control, was I could be a good partier that year, because I could also control what I did in the classroom. Right? I could control that. I could control the fact that I didn't get arrested because I kept myself from doing something real dumb. But I also could control having as much fun as I possibly could with my friends that year. And so some of my best friends to this day are from my college years, right? And I love them, but we were all bad influences on each other, right? Sharpening, 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 all right? So here, let's introduce the second part of this scripture. As one man and one man sharpens another, all right? My close-knit group of friends, my teammates, when we didn't have games the next day, you know, we could have been doing other stuff. You know, we were just living like college kids were at the time and literally partying our tails off that year. But I take this verse in two ways. I take this verse, and I think most people take it this way. My positive actions drive the positive response from others. It drives that positive sharpening to others. But guess what? We were sharpening each other negatively that year, because my teammates could have looked at me and said, get your tail in the gym and you might make it back in 7 months as opposed to 9 months, right? But I was also looking to them to be like, dude, I don't got to play a game tomorrow. Come on out, you know? Like, I just went to the gas station underage. Yeah, come on, right? So there's also, in my opinion, that double-edged sword to this scripture. And now I'm going to ask you, whose iron are you sharpening? And whose iron is being sharpened? Whose iron out here, and mine, is being sharpened by other people? It's all of us. But how are we sharpening that, and how are others sharpening it in our lives? Just think about that. All right? All right, now let's go to 2008. All right, enough of the sob stuff. Like, 2008 was a good year, right? I get back, you know, surgery's well behind me. I'm getting back to playing, right? Okay, cool. Big man on campus syndrome starting to come a little bit back. Like, I'm breathing basketball again. I'm doing workouts. I'm running. It's like, all right, man, my legs still work. I'm good, you know? 2008 was also when I met Lauren. Hey, boo. I told y'all, I'm not a preacher. I can say stuff up here that a normal preacher wouldn't. And I'll never remember. I come out of my dormitory, right? Dormitories here are lacrosse fields right here at Lynchburg College. Come on out my dormitory. I'm right there, right? Lacrosse game. Beautiful afternoon. I have no clue who she is, but I remember she was wearing a red shirt and a blue skirt. And I remember walking out of that dormitory with a guy named Casey Mendez, and I'm like, I got to know who that girl is. And I was not a girl chaser at the time. Still not now. That came out really weird. All right? Not a girl chaser at the time, still not, but I had to figure out who this girl was. There was just something about her that I'm like, man, I got to figure out who she was. And y'all have seen it, like, she doesn't have to open her mouth one bit, but if she's somewhere around this church campus or literally anywhere, y'all have probably felt it and know what I'm talking about if you have gotten to know Lauren afterwards, right? But guess what? I didn't talk to her because I was drunk as a skunk. Telling you, I'm getting raw. Like, we were having fun. I didn't have a game the next day, right? But I should have been working out and then going to the lacrosse game to support my buddies. Sharpening, right? And I'm now going to quote one of Lauren's favorite scriptures from Romans 8:28. Y'all going to get mad at me if I don't flip my Bible to the verse and I just read it off a piece of paper. All right, let's do it. I'm not a preacher, remember? All right, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good, right? I was not supposed to see Lauren that day. I was not supposed to see her that day in late May. Because here's why. Had it not been for my knee injury back in September, I would have been finishing school a little bit early that year and going and playing basketball overseas for about 6 weeks. Because right before I blew out my knee, I had an application handed to me that said, hey, we would like you to be part of this little Team USA basketball deal. We've got a couple of guys from Lynchburg that are going to come, handful of guys from the conference that are going to come. Hey, go raise about $4,000 because we want you, but you got to pay for it, right? Great, great trade-off, you know. But I should not have been there the day that I met Lauren. I should have been finishing my finals and then going home to see my mom and dad, packing up, and then going to play at what would have been an amazing experience. But I also would not be standing here today if I was overseas playing basketball because I would not have met her. Right? So, Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. That was part of his plan. That wasn't my plan. It wasn't my plan to blow out my knee. Definitely wasn't my plan to walk out of the door that day and be like, oh man, she's pretty. I don't know about the southern accent. A little bit. But, so, check some boxes for me, right, that day. Now we're going to keep on going. A few short weeks later, and for the life of me, I can't figure out why. Lynn and Dwayne, they let me come on a family trip, and I'd only met them once. This is like literally three weeks after I met Lauren. They met me one time. Lauren and I had known for 3 weeks. Like this was back in like the Google, or what was it, AIM? We had some AIM going on back in the day. If y'all are old enough, you remember that, right? You got to come away with your clever away message and all that kind of stuff. I knew her sister, but I knew her sister kind of well because that was my fuzzy year of going through my you know, knee surgery and all that kind of stuff. We had a class together. I knew her sister's boyfriend at the time pretty well. My parents, I don't even think y'all talked to Lauren before I went to the beach. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it was literally like, hey, I met this girl. Can I go to the beach with her and her family? Sure. And I'm like, all right, we'll see what happens, right? And here we are today. And I'm not too proud to admit it. I don't even think I was searching for like a relationship at the time, a girlfriend at the time. But I wanted to get to know her. So it's like, I'm going to that beach if I got invited. You know, this is, how am I going to get to know her? But guess what else happened starting around then? I had the first person in my life invite me to church. Right? That's a big one. Hey, you want to come with my family? Eesh. Right? What do I wear? We've all been there. What do I wear? All right, how long is the service? Is it outside or inside? You get all these random, like, what-if scenarios start going through your head, right? But I went. And I kept going on and off with her. And I kept seeing, you know, what this life was like, sharpening. Some of y'all in here today, not many, because there's a whole lot more people here now than what there were then. But some of y'all sharpening since 2008, and I appreciate it. All right? Coming right along now. We're going to keep on going with the good times, right? Lauren and I get married 2011. We're 23. You know, I'm starting to get more curious into this whole, like, hey, what does this relationship with God look like because of what I've been getting into with Lauren? Learning from her at the time, still learning from her today. But it didn't just happen at the drop of a hat. I was stubborn as could be, right? I still am stubborn. Am I still stubborn, Laura? I'm stubborn, all right? Because I didn't just say, hey, I'm going to go wholeheartedly commit, and literally that's what I'm holding today. Like that's where all this stuff comes full circle. I didn't wholeheartedly commit then, right? It took me a long time. And I think a lot of people probably thought I had my stuff together then. You look at social media, man, this guy's, you know, he's good, you know? And my responses to people, yeah, life's going great, work's going well, you know? Again, still, I'm not in jail. I'm not partying my tail off anymore. Like things are good. Like I'm good, you know? But again, what was intriguing going on about my life? Not a whole lot. I was a good guy, but I felt like I was missing something. 2013, Lauren gives me a Christmas gift. You remember what it was? What was that? First one somebody ever got me as a gift. Here you go. Boom. Merry Christmas, right? And I'm still here to tell you, if somebody wants to buy me a Shelby GT 500 1967 Fastback Silver with black racing stripes, I will gladly accept it, but it's still not going to beat the value that she got me with this, because this was going to help change my life, and that would just sit in the garage because I'd be too scared to drive it. Seriously. It would sound good, but I'd be too scared to drive it. Macon was born in 2015. Lauren and I start going to church at the time, you know, kind of on and off. We had some friends over in Louisa where we were living inviting us to church. We were coming back here a little bit on and off. And man, we only got 15 minutes left. Look at this, church. Whew. We're going to church on and off. And finally, we're like, look, we got to find a church in Louisa. Like, this is a long drive. And so we find a church in Louisa. We start getting plugged in. But again, I'm stubborn, right? So now we're going to look at Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. I knew what I wanted to do. I knew what, you know, the couple things. Again, I wasn't a bad guy, but I knew there were a few things that I needed to refine in my life to, in order to start living a little bit more according to this, that I was starting to crack open from time to time. And by time to time, I mean like maybe once every 3 or 4 months, because I was getting more curious and curious, right? But God knew what was going on. And he knew what I should have been doing and taking the steps to start progressing to where I'm at today. But I was stubborn and I didn't do it, like most of us, because I think all of us can relate to a time in our life where we've been stubborn and we didn't go act on stuff that we should have been acting on. But I can promise you this, right? God cared much more about what I was about to get into, because his plan was going to be fulfilled, than what I was trying to do at the time, because he knew our worlds were going to collide very soon. And they did collide very soon. Because December 2016, they collided. And I shared some of this when I got baptized back here in 2017. When Lauren's dad passed away, here comes low number two. And again, I've never shared it quite like this. Because my family knew I was hurting. But my wife was a rock when her dad passed away. And how could I show more emotion than what she was doing? I'm a man. I can't show that kind of emotion. I'm supposed to be the guy that's like, hey, it's all right. We're going to get through this. So I had to do that in private. And nobody knew. Because I couldn't show that weakness coming out like that. I was too proud to do it. Sharpening, 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 right? I'm in this world more and more. I've been part of Lauren's family. I got my background to grow up on that I knew what to do, and now I could add the spiritual life to it because I'd been seeing it. Sharpening, 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 right? I had been sharpened for 8 years, but I learned a valuable lesson when he passed away because I thought I controlled my time. I'm great at time management. I'm great at time management. You give me 19 things to do and a deadline, they're going to be done before that deadline, and I'm already starting to work on 20, 21, 22, 23. I'm great at time management, and I'm proud to say that. But I thought I controlled my time. And when he passed away, when he should still be sitting here right now, I should rephrase that. It was God's plan for him not to be sitting here right now, but I wish he was sitting here right now. But I learned, because he passed away too soon, according to what we thought, I learned that I didn't control my time. And that scared the tar out of me because I controlled my time. Right? And so I was hit head on with the decision that I could either try to keep control of my time and keep being stubborn and keep being too proud to do this and this and that, or I could just give in. And finally, I gave in. And Lolly, I've never told you this. Lauren, I've never told you this. It was sitting in y'all's house over there, and I just lost it. Closed the door, lost it. And I finally said, God, I need you in my life. The first time ever, right? 28 years old, right? Close enough. It's 2016, 28, I think. I'm a good math guy, just not this morning, right? Something about this stage is not a math stage. All right, but that's what happened, right? I finally, God, I want you in my life. I need you in my life, okay? So Father's Day weekend 2017, that capped about 5 months of being a private Christian for me. I never even went to Lauren and told her that. Nobody knew that. But God knew it, so he knew that I was starting to go in the right direction. And I just needed to then publicly tell everybody, right? But before I continue, I want to introduce, Will touched on it last week, Revelations 3, 15, 16. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold nor hot. So because you are, no, you're good. Sorry, I was just taking a breath. So I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Even though I said that prayer, I became the most lukewarm private, you know, Sunday pew pilot, whatever. We got those names, you know. I was one of those people that just came on Sundays, right? Scared, right? Because now it was like, man, I just made that decision up here and in here, and now I got to come face everybody here, and y'all got to start seeing my actions for it because I had made that decision myself, right? So wake up, go to work, come home, spend a few hours with my family, boom, boom, wash, rinse, repeat 5 days a week, show up to church on Sunday. Hey, how you doing? Shake hands. Yep, great to see you. Life is great. See you. Out. About 5 months. And then finally, and we have all had this feeling, if you know this feeling I'm about to describe if you have had it. Anthony standing right here where my 2 feet are planted, and I felt like he talked to me for like 45 straight minutes that day. And so finally, I let my pride get out the way, and I got whatever kind of stickiest cement in the world was holding my feet over there. It got out the way, and I just came on up. And he was like, hey, man, right? Anthony, I love you for this. Hey, man. He had no clue why I was up there. I said, Anthony, I want to join this church. He said, you're not a member of this church? See? Right? Sharpening. I was sharpened to do the right things. You want to join this church? You're not a member of this church? No, I'm not a member of this church, but I want to join this church. Guess what? Lauren wasn't even in church that day. She had no idea until I told her afterwards, right? Again, not that my pride got in the way that day, but I didn't even tell her, like, hey, listen, this is something I'm really thinking on. I want to do this. I need to do this. Boom, boom, boom. She had no idea. I might keep you all a little bit extra. I'm turning into a preacher, right? All right, we're going to fast forward because I really don't want to keep everybody till 1 o'clock today. College in early 20s, right? You know, I had then started the transformation of going from that guy who felt like I was in control, really dominated my time, college athlete, boom, big man on campus syndrome, all out the door. Now it's like, man, I got to live according to somebody else's plan. I don't control my time. And guess what? I just told everybody that I wanted to make this public because I got baptized on Father's Day weekend. Woo-wee. Lukewarm Dan is in the house now. I'm no longer a pew pilot, but Lukewarm Dan is here, all right? I didn't know what to do. I just came to church. I didn't, you know, like, where's the blueprint that I am supposed to follow? As soon as I say, hey, I joined this church, I get baptized, what blueprint am I supposed to follow? Duh. 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 Right? And what ended my Lukewarm Dan era? I had to be a member for at least a year in order to be nominated for a deacon. Roger Bowles comes walking into our office one day at work. Danny Reed. Yes, sir? Your church members have nominated you to be on the deacon ballot. Do you accept? And I was like, uh-oh. What does that mean? I knew I had a deacon, but I didn't know what they did. And why on earth would my church family want me to be a deacon? Because all that sharpening was finally coming in to take place. It was finally starting to take shape, and y'all could see it. Those of us that were here at the time, don't even know if I knew half of y'all at the time because y'all weren't here. That's why this church growth is amazing. I love it. Right? So I told him, same thing. Hey, I'll pray on it. You know, 100% joke. But then as soon as he left the office, I was like, uh-oh, now I got to figure out what a deacon does in this church. Right? But I did pray on it that time. And I said, sure. Put me on the ballot. And then for whatever reason, y'all voted me in as a deacon later that year. And here we are. And it's been a fun ride since then. So Lukewarm Dan era officially ended when I took my first step and actually started putting action into what I was doing at this church. Because until I became a deacon, I didn't start acting in the church. I didn't really start serving in the church. I may have mowed the lawn once or twice, but like, all right, try to stripe it, but all right, you know. And I was terrified, right? But that changed it to where I started acting on what was doing. All right, now let's get to the good stuff. Past four or five years, man, what a ride, right? Let me tell you what I found. I'm investing in the God's plan for me, and I'm not questioning my future. I have made decisions. Some of them probably didn't turn out so good, like buying all them dang football helmets, but whatever. We sold them. Yeah, that's a bad subject, right? But I didn't weigh that decision like I would have 10 years. I said, look, it's going to work out all right. Let's do it. Lauren was right on that one for the record. All right. You were right on that one. I now don't feel the need to have control over every little thing in my life. And I'm a control guy. I like that control. But I don't feel the need to control every little thing. 5 minutes. I now have a sense of freedom instead of being held captive to some of the things I wasn't proud of. Those party years. Man, they may have been fun at the time, but they came back to be like, why did I do that, man? That little twinge in my knee I felt that one night when I probably shouldn't have been out doing what I was doing. Did that keep me from getting back to 100%? It's the first time anybody's ever heard of that. I didn't know what that little twinge was, and I said, all right, let's go. Another beer. Again, I'm being honest with y'all. Right? I now have joy instead of just being happy. I've always had a big smile. I've always had a big personality, and I was a happy dude, but there's a difference between joy and happiness, and I've got joy. I now have a purpose instead of just being motivated, and I've been motivated my whole entire life. You give me a goal to accomplish, I'm going to go get it. I will go get it. But there's a difference between being motivated and having a purpose. It took a while to find that purpose. It took literally until the last 12 months to start finding this purpose, right? 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. I always knew I wanted to be a teacher. I felt like I should coach basketball because I love it. And the teenage age group of kids is where I always wanted to spend most of my time. If I ever teach, it's going to be in high school or college. Laura, you can have the little kids. That's not me, right? My passion is right here and right here. That age group, I love it. I love it, and I know it. And guess where God has put my feet, both of them, after, again, that cement, whatever it was in that pew back there. Man, I don't know. But guess where my 2 feet are right now? They're on the dirt of baseball fields coaching Macon and Witten and their friends. They're on the sidelines of a hardwood basketball court coaching Macon and Witten and their friends. And I know it's going to turn into more. I can feel it. My 2 feet, most importantly, are in the Sunday school classroom with these kids right here. And for what reason I was asked to teach Sunday school at the time, I don't know, but I hope y'all are learning something because I'm learning from y'all, and I hope we're having fun. And most importantly, my 2 feet are here because now I'm acting on it and telling y'all about it. One of my favorite quotes is by a guy, and I'm probably going to butcher his last name, Leo Buscaglia, I don't know, he's a teacher, he did a lot of stuff in the special needs world. I've had this quote on my desk at home for 10 years. Now let's put this together. It's 2023, 10 years ago was 2013, and if we remember this time frame, 2013 was before some of the stuff happened that I started talking to you guys about. And this quote reads, your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with your talent is your gift back to God. I think we talked about that a little bit earlier, youth group. And if you would have told me 5 years ago that in May of 2023, I'd be right here and I'd be in that Sunday school class, I would have laughed in your face. Ha! Maybe, but not right now, you know. All right, this is where my notes stopped. Oh, look at that. Man, look at that. I was 2 minutes early. But then when Anthony told me I had to speak for myself and I got a little carried away today, I added this to it. Because guess what, youth? Guess who hit me like a freight train on the mower this week? Inky. Another podcast, right? If y'all don't know Inky Johnson, I heard his testimony at the men's retreat in Liberty years ago. You were with me. Uh-huh. You remember Inky? Remember Inky, right? Well, guess what? Inky had a career-ending injury. Fortunately, mine wasn't career-ending, but it ended his career in college. He was a football player. I'm like, man, I can relate to this guy. Start sharing his testimony. I'm like, I need to follow this guy. And here we are all these years later. I'm still listening to his podcast. Well, he referenced Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God's plan for us is going to happen. And I'm proof of that. Because I was being stubborn and it still happened. But it took a decision for me to finally give in and let his plan start happening. Because I kept rejecting it, and his plan was not happening because I was too in control and I was trying to dictate every little thing. And I finally stopped, and then boom, look where we're at today. It's a brand new man, y'all. Same Danny, same body. My knee is actually stronger now than what it was according to doctors, so I guess that's a little bit different. But I wouldn't have been doing this a long time ago. No way, right? So think of it this way. The longer it takes to happen, it doesn't dictate our heavenly future. We can be on our deathbed and say, I want you in my life. Please accept me. Well, good. But do you want it to take that long? Or do you want to enjoy, and I'm thankful that it happened in my 20s, and I now get to live that out. But how long do you want it to take? Because the time window gets shorter and shorter, and guess what? Remember, we don't control it. I thought I did. 12 o'clock. I'm almost done. Right? When we believe in God, we can't stop there. I promise. Like, look, I'm not even filling up a whole sheet of paper now, so we're going to rifle through this at the very end. All right? When we believe in God, we can't stop there. I believed, but it stopped for a long time. We then need to believe. We need to believe first, and then we need to seek him. It took a long time for me to start seeking, but I then sought him. I think that's the right way to say it. We can't stop there either. All right? Believe, seek. We need to trust him and obey him, and that was the hard one for me. Still is hard for me at times. Right? But I'm trying. And I like to think that I'm doing it, right? And only then will we see that purpose start injecting itself into what we're doing, right? It's not going to happen unless those three, and there might be more, but again, I'm not a preacher, so those three are what happened to me, and I started seeing it. Those three things, I needed all three steps, right? Had to get the A+ 100% complete, all right? Do me a favor real quick. Everybody close your eyes. You got a whiteboard hovering above your head. Personality traits. Actions, relationships, sharpening, right? Memories, good, bad, ugly, everything. It's all on there. Now you got that big old dry eraser in your hand. Clean, gone, right? Your past doesn't leave you, but you also aren't defined by it anymore. Now you can open your eyes because I think I stopped my little exercise that I started. Like, y'all, that's what happened to me, right? I had a lot of stuff that I wasn't embarrassed of, but it did hold me back because I would keep going back and thinking about it, right? But that's not me anymore, right? Clean. All right, to bring it all home, we're going to go back to Proverbs 27:17. You don't have to change it up there. We can just roll with it. Iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another, right? God wants us to challenge one another. I'm supposed to challenge you guys. Y'all are supposed to challenge me, so please keep it up on your end, and I'll do my best to keep it up on my end. I promise y'all that. Right? But then we also got to go out there and do it too. And as a church, we're doing it. I can promise you that. But what do we do when we leave that Easter egg hunt? Are we still going and doing it, or are we leaving it at the Easter egg hunt because it was a lot of fun? Right? And how can we do this? And I am speaking to myself here. Y'all just eavesdrop. I have got to open this more. I have to because I don't do it enough. Right? I'm in a good part of my life right now. So I again, it's second. Okay, this is still going to speak to me, but do I need to reference it for all the good stuff that's happening? Yes. But I also need to be prepared for when that low number three, and I hope it doesn't come, but low number three is going to hit me at some point in time. And I need to have the relationship in here as well as here. I promise you. I think I might be turning into a preacher right now. Right? All right. Read our Bible, then fellowship. Okay? Now think about this. All right? Youth group, we talked about this on our retreat last year. Look, I got two pages left, y'all. We are defined by our five closest people to us. So think about it. Who are your five? Now also think, are you part of someone else's five? Because if you take the five people closest to you and just mash them all up, that's you. Right? Choose wisely. All right, it's common, I told you we're going to get back to basketball. I couldn't leave without going back to basketball, right? I love it. It's common for athletes nowadays to write a thank you letter to their sport when they're done playing. I wrote this in 2010, and I think Lauren was snooping and found it in my email a few weeks ago and said, what, thank you, basketball? Nope. You asked me about it. But anyway, I wrote it, and it never graced the life of social media because it was like, I'm not doing that, right? But here it goes. Thank you, basketball, for seasons of fun, for selecting new people for me to meet, for sending me to new places. Thank you, basketball, for showing me the reward of hard work, for shaping my perspective through tough times, for setting me up for a future after sports. Thank you, basketball, for satisfying my dream of becoming a college athlete, for smoothing out college until I met Lauren, and for skills learned that I'll use the rest of my life. Thank you, basketball, for all that you've done for me. Don't write that same name. Note that I did. That was 2010. This is today. Thank you, God, for seasons of fun, for selecting new people for me to meet, for sending me to new places. Thank you, God, for showing me the reward of hard work, for shaping my perspective through tough times, for setting me up for a future after sports. Thank you, God, for satisfying my dream of being a college athlete. Woo-wee, I did that until I got to college, I thought. For smoothing out college until I met Lauren. For skills learned the rest of my life. Thank you, God, for all that you have done for me. Now, that's perspective. I'll give you this after class today. Keep that one. All right, if I can tell you one thing, just keep that one, please. And I know I'm singling you out, but we got a basketball connection, all right? You know, it's funny, and this is the last sheet, I promise. Look, Anthony's gone way longer than this, all right? He asked me about a month ago to do this, right? And I, you know, hemming and hawing, the what ifs, the this and that. We talked about it this morning, right? Man, I was nervous as could be, and I'm not a nervous guy. And I hope it didn't show today, because I finally gave that up, too. Like, all I got to do is come up and talk about me. I don't need to brag, but I just got to talk about me, right? Earlier this week, I finished a 60-day devotional book that was in the form of a one-on-one interview with John Wooden. If y'all don't know John Wooden, he is one of the most legendary basketball coaches of all time. Here it comes again, basketball. This guy's nuts, right? No, I love it. He's arguably the greatest basketball coach, but he was also a teacher, and he had a very firm faith foundation. Listen to what day 60 was that I read on Wednesday. I always tried to make it clear that basketball is not the ultimate. Reagan, I'll give you this too. It is of small importance in comparison to the total life that we live. There's only one kind of a life that truly succeeds, and that is the one that places faith in the hands of the Savior. Until that is done, we are on an aimless course that runs in circles and circles and goes nowhere. Material possessions, winning scores, and great reputations are meaningless in the eyes of the Lord, because He knows what we really are and what we really can be, and that is all that really matters. Purpose. My purpose wasn't basketball when I thought it was. And it doesn't mean I can't love it, but my purpose was so much bigger than that. So I have two challenges for you today, and then I will ask a real preacher to come up and he can close church for us. We can all go eat. Consider who is sharpening your iron, but also consider whose iron you are sharpening. And is it for the better or is it for the worse? Or is it somewhere in between that we can still tweak? And if you haven't given your life to God, what are you waiting for? Because it took me a long time. I was in my late 20s, had a family, but I finally did it. And I can promise you what you are seeing now is not that same guy that I was before I did it. So do you control your time, or are you ready for someone else to control it and to actually have purpose injected into that time? That's all I got for you. Really, that's the last sheet of notes, so I'm really done. Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.